taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
The United States is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic for very good reason. And if you want to know why, all you have to do is look at the reaction to the recent leak of a draft opinion in the Supreme Court case Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health. See, Thomas Jefferson warned us. He said a democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49%. This has been going on for 50 years, where a majority of the court, in this case, five people, took away the rights of babies as long as they were still in the womb. So what has been the reaction to the very idea that the court may find, you know what, we were wrong. It was not our job to meddle in the abortion debate. We see mobs. We see the type of reaction we expect. As James Madison put it in Federalist Papers number 10, hence it is that such democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and in general have been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. Then, of course, you have John Adams, who said himself, democracies never last long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There's never been a democracy that did not commit suicide. And, of course, my personal favorite, Benjamin Franklin, democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Democracies eat themselves, which is why I am not at all surprised that the Democratic Party and the Marxist socialist cry for democracies have led to this reaction when they don't get their way. Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel, and today we are watching as part of America is trying to murder itself. Because there are people that want the privilege of murdering unborn children. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a partisan program. But sometimes the partisanship is just so blatantly, so in your face, as to require you look at it. You require we deal with it. For example, I'm reading an article on Hot Air that pointed out that the day after Justice Ginsburg died, Democratic donors gave more than $30 million to Democratic campaigns and groups like Act Blue and others. A one-day fundraising record when Justice Ginsburg died. However, 23 hours after the Supreme Court opinion draft was leaked, Politico reported that just $9 million have been donated to Act Blue. Just a small uptick from the day before. Julie Radzinski, who's a Democratic strategist, said, "My fear continues to be that sometimes we as Democrats run on things that we wish voters cared about rather than what the voters do care about." Are you telling me Democratic strategists are concerned because they're not getting the fundraising goals that they expected? That this, how much of this brouhaha, how much of this self-flagellation, how much of this insanity has been to drive fundraising for a political party? I don't know. What I do know is it just shows how violent, how anti-human, how unwilling to accept differences a certain percentage of our population is, and that the vast majority of them are members of a party that claims it wants democracy. So let's go through some of the recent news items and let's take a look at who is it that thinks it is okay, it is good for the courts to overrule the law, go beyond their stated delegated powers, and attempt to legalize what was never legalized, to legalize something that was never made law, and force the states, force the American people to accept the killing of unborn children. Because we have an election coming up. We have a job review coming up. And let me ask you, who are the people you want running your cities, your states, your counties, and the nation? Not their position on, simply their position on abortion. That certainly is a standard many Americans use. But how people react when they don't get their way. And I want to compare this to the reaction that another group had when they believed their vote was stolen, that they had evidence that their vote was stolen, that crimes were committed, and their ability to choose their representatives, to live in a constitutional republic, was taken from them. Let's compare those two. You see, when the 2020 election was found to have legal and constitutional problems, at least five states illegally appointed electors for president, at least five that I know of. And there was a rally, there was a demonstration. And yes, a handful of people entered the Capitol, many of which were ushered in by the Capitol Police, and a few of them did damage. A few of them did. Okay, that's fine. But it was only after all of that, when suddenly those in power in Washington decided, no, we have to barricade, for months we have to barricade the Capitol, not because of a violent uprising, but because of a few hotheads that went a little too far. Now, here we have the draft opinion being released. And again, as I understand, this is a first draft. There's a reason why I have not analyzed it, because whatever it says, I know, is not going to be the final opinion. Do you know how I know it's not going to be the final opinion? Because they almost never are. It's a first draft. But shortly after the news leaked, after that Politico leaked that draft, there were barricades set up around the Supreme Court. The area around the court was closed because they feared demonstrations. Now, it's interesting, when a group of Republicans came, they didn't fear an uprising. It was actually surprised when some people entered the Capitol. The vast majority of them peacefully demonstrated outside the Capitol. A few people went in. Fine. Here we have barricades set up because they were expecting trouble. Now, I have no problem with pro-abortion protesters. As long as they're peaceful, they have that right. I disagree with them, but it's because I disagree with them, I want their right protected. But that's to demonstrate. That is peaceful assembly. What happens when certain, let's call them left-wing leaning groups, offer stipends for people to participate in protests and attempt to intimidate the justices? A group, I believe it's called Ruth Sent Us, offered stipends to people who would help support the demonstration at justices' homes. We're not talking about protesting outside the Supreme Court. We're talking about intimidation. We're talking about going to justices' homes. Why is it when conservatives and Republicans gather and protest and a couple people go, you know, enter the Capitol, they're referred to as, everybody there is referred to as insurrectionist. But when you attempt to intimidate justices' home, oh, see, those are Democrats, those are left-wing, they can get away with it. They can raise money to pay people to help the protest. That's just fine. But think about it. Did anybody go to Joe Biden's home? Did anybody go to Mike Pence's home If they did, they were wrong. I'm sorry. The work these people do is bad enough. But you don't protest outside their home. You don't terrify their families, their children. That's a step too far. And notice what I've seen so far is I've seen a lot of yelling and screaming and name calling. You know what I have yet to see? Anybody refute an argument made by Justice Alito in that draft opinion. And of course, it's not just the crowds. Do you remember when Senate Leader Chuck Schumer said, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions." That, ladies and gentlemen, is intimidation. That is a threat of violence. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a crime. So as I said, if you disagree with them, fine. If you wish to express that disagreement with them, fine. When you threaten them, when you claim that you will pay, if you won't know what hit you, you will pay the price, you won't know what hit you if you do this, that is blatant intimidation. Why, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't Chuck Schumer impeached? You can impeach a senator? Yes, you can impeach a senator. The House of Representatives can file articles of impeachment for Chuck Schumer for attempting to intimidate another branch of government. But what about the people who showed up at the justices' houses? And look at who they protested. As reports, I understand it, about 100 demonstrators protested outside of the homes of Justices Kavanaugh and Chief Justice Roberts. Now, I find that interesting. Why not Alito? I mean, Alito is the one who wrote the draft opinion. Why didn't they protest outside of his house? Could it be, again, simple intimidation? Why Justice Roberts? The inside baseball that I've heard so far, Roberts is not with the majority on this opinion. That he's actually on the dissenting side. Now, maybe that's true. Maybe, you know, we don't know for sure yet, but Kavanaugh. Could it be that they picked Kavanaugh and Roberts because they think they're the ones they could intimidate into changing their position? Tell me this is not an attempt at mob rule. If you don't do what we want, we will protest in front of your homework. We will protest in front of your home. We will threaten that you'll pay for this. This is what happens when the ends justify the means. And when we grow a generation that believes if they don't get what they want, it is perfectly legitimate to use threats, intimidation, and violence. Mothers and fathers, this is the generation that we're raised. And look at what they're asking for. Again, let's take the word abortion off the table. Let's take the subject off the table. Alito looked at this and said, the Roe v. Wade opinion was badly formed. I haven't studied the opinion, but this is what has been reported, that it was something that should have been left to the states and to the people's representative. The court should not have stepped in where they had no legal jurisdiction. And that has generated these demonstrations. And I'm working very hard not to call some of them riots, right? Because I don't have all the details and I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. But the very idea that looking at this saying, listen, the states, this is not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, the federal government should not have been involved. This should have remained with the states. It should be done by law. The representatives of the people should have done this. But that's not good enough for these. They want their way. They want the mob rule of democracy. They figure if they make a big enough stink, they can get what they want. What do you think Jefferson meant when he said a democracy is nothing more than mob rule? Why do you think Madison and Adams noted that democracies are turbulent, contentious, self-destructive, that they waste and exhaust and murder themselves? that there was never a democracy that didn't commit suicide. This is why. Look at what's going on over this one draft opinion. It's not an argument from the law. There are no arguments from the law. This is the temper tantrum. These are five-year-olds throwing a temper tantrum. They're throwing themselves on the floor, kicking and screaming to get their way. This is mob rule. And this is the future that these people want. This is the future for America that these people want. Is that the future you wish to live in? Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, please head over to constitutionstudy.com. I got some neat things going on. I'm doing my online study. I'm putting together my tour. I am still looking for tour dates. So go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. You can find out about the tour. You can maybe request that I come speak to your event. I'd love to. Can be an event. It could be just a group of people. Let's see what we can put together so that we can help spread the good news, the blessings of liberty, not the tyranny of the mob. Also, please head to healthycell.com. You know, I don't know about you. I was just doing a conference. I was on an expo floor all day. And, you know, you get to the end of the day and the mind starts wandering. I lose focus. Well, I took my focus and recall from Healthy Cell. It helped bring my attention back to what I was doing so I could do the job I needed to do and do it well. And as an America Out Loud listener, they'll give you 20% off your first order. So go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout for that 20% off. Try any of their products, try any of their formulas. I love the focus and recall. Just make sure when you check out that you use the code OUTLOUD to get 20% off that first order.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's healthycell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're pointing out that America is a constitutional republic, not a democracy, although we look more and more like one as we see the mobs attempting to rule the country. Sure, I agree. Everyone has the right to peacefully assemble, peacefully being the operative word, peacefully assemble to express their opinion. Absolutely no problem. But what happens when it's not simply the Democrats? And I don't simply mean the Democratic Party. I find it very interesting that the Democratic Party seems to be the instigator for most of this, but hang on to that for just a second. I'm talking about the people that cry for democracy, cry for the people's voices to be heard, rather than recognizing we are a republic and we're heard through our representatives. Now, what happens when the leaders get involved? When the leaders threaten, like Chuck Schumer did, threaten the judicial branch if he doesn't get his way? What happens when the protesters demonstrate not simply outside of the Supreme Court, but in front of the homes of the justices in an attempt to influence, to intimidate them to change their vote? What happens when the president of the United States, the same man who referred to people who support Trump, the quote-unquote MAGA crowd, refers to them as the most extreme political organization in recent American history, when we look at these demonstrations over a draft of a Supreme Court opinion? When was the last time you saw a MAGA crowd demonstrating outside of a politician's home to intimidate them to change their vote? When was the last time you saw them demonstrate outside of a federal judge's or Supreme Court justice's home because they didn't like the way they thought they were voting? Well, you don't see that. No, I'm sorry. The extremists, and I hate this because this is not a partisan show. I hate both political parties, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Conservatives, you name it, Green Party. I hate them. I hate them because they place the benefit, the advancement of their party above the oath of office and the rule of law. And they all do it. As George Washington said, it's the party dissension, the animosity that's natural to party dissension is its own frightful despotism. And we are seeing it here today. But when the president of the United States refers to a MAGA crowd as the most extreme political organization, yet refuses to even denounce the idea of protesting outside of justices' homes, terrifying family and children, I'm sorry, his words fall flat. Sure, Psaki conveyed Biden's wishes that any protest remain peaceful, but he wouldn't refer to them as extreme, even though they're more extreme than the people he said were the most extreme. I'm sorry, that's the political biases. Jen Psaki, the president, for all those women, men, others who feel outraged, who feel scared, who feel concerned, he hears them. He shares that concern and horror at what he saw in that draft opinion. What about the horror for the men, women, forget others, there are no others. You have men, you have women, you have children who are outraged, who are concerned at the death of unborn children that's been going on in this country for 50 years. The Holocaust. We killed more children in America under Roe v. Wade than Hitler did during the Holocaust. And the president doesn't care about that. He doesn't see the horrors of it. He doesn't feel for that. So while he does call, and I find it interesting that the same president who is now calling for a peaceful protest is the same one that accused Trump of inciting violence for suggesting a peaceful protest of the problems with the 2020 election. See, that's what happens with the party dissension. It's also what happens under mob rule. Whichever group can get the biggest mob, make the most noise, they get their way. And the laws and your rights be damned. Now, Chief Justice Roberts said that the court won't have its mind changed based on this. Roberts has already flip-flopped due to political pressure. So I really don't trust a word that man says when it comes to political pressure. There's a reason why he both wrote the majority opinion and the dissent in the Affordable Care Act case, because he flip-flopped. Now, Justice Thomas, during a judicial conference, said, "We can't be an institution that can be bullied into giving you just the outcomes you want. The events from earlier this week are a symptom of that. Exactly. See, if laws don't matter, if the law itself does not matter, then whatever the mob wants, the mob gets, then we are not a free country. Your rights don't matter. And Roe v. Wade is an excellent example of the mob overruling the law. See, healthcare is not a right, not a power delegated to the United States. They don't have any authority over healthcare. Sure, the Roe court originally said that, well, the decision was between a mother and her doctor. Okay, but the law says, the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, says you cannot be deprived of life without due process of law, which is exactly what happened. You see, the court made a bad opinion. The court came up to a bad opinion. They wanted abortion, quote unquote, legalized. It was not legal. It was not in the law, but they came up with a way of doing it. They ruled from the bench. They overturned law. They became a mob unto themselves. And now, when you have a court that says, listen, Roe was bad precedent. And by the way, this is not the first time. This has been talked about for 50 years. Jurists and legal experts have been talking about how badly the Roe opinion was arrived at practically since it was decided. And a court finally said, you know what? This is wrong. It needs to go back to the states. Let the states determine this. And the mob went mad. And I talked before, I see the only two reasons I see for doing this, for leaking this report, is either to intimidate some justice into changing their mind, or to use it to stoke up elections, to gather votes in the upcoming midterms. Neither of which is a valid reason to change the opinion of a judge. A judge is supposed to look at the law and see if it applies. And for doing that, these judges are being harassed, intimidated by crowds, by media, by politicians. And just to prove how the ends justify the means, what does Biden say? Now, I don't know what Biden thinks. I don't think Biden knows what Biden thinks half the time. But when he made this statement, I had to wonder what was going through his head. I'm going to paraphrase. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. But he said, if the Republicans pass an extreme law segregating LGBTQ students in school, well, this draft opinion would presumably allow that. Absolutely irrational. Absolutely irrational. All this court, the opinion, as I understand it, and again, I haven't done the deep dive into the draft, but it said Roe was incorrectly found. This goes back to the states. And when it comes to segregation based on, sexuality, there are actually laws against that. Remember, there was no federal law allowing abortion. There never has been a federal law allowing abortion. We're going to talk about more about that in just a few minutes. But this is what passes for discourse nowadays. Not a question of, hey, wait a second, did the justice consider this law, this law, this law? No. We don't like the outcome. Let us demagogue it. Let us make up stuff of what could possibly happen. Let's ignore the facts because we don't get what we want. These are, and again, it's coming primarily from the Democratic Party. I find that title to be quite true. That they want the mob to rule, not the law to rule. They don't want you to have a voice through your representative. They just like the fact that they can get a mob stoked up and get what they want. That's how they act. That may not be what they say, but that is how they act. Now, one area where I actually may sort of kind of agree with the Biden administration So according to NBC News, administration officials said the Justice Department's view at this early stage is that the leak did not constitute a federal crime. So that may be true. We don't know how this information was acquired and how it was distributed, so we don't know if a crime was actually committed yet. Small comfort listening to the insanity coming out of the White House, out of Congress, coming out of these activist groups, these radical Democratic left-wing activist groups that are acting more like five-year-old children throwing temper tantrums than having a reasoned argument about why the justice's opinion was wrong. And do you see now why I correct people when they say America's a democracy? Why it's one of my pet peeves, it's one of the things I push back against? See, if this works, if a mob can influence the justices at the application of the law, if they can ignore if a mob can get the judge to ignore the language of the law to get their way, laws don't matter, the Constitution doesn't matter, your rights don't matter. There are no protections for your rights. It is mob rule. And while Jefferson said 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49, it doesn't take 50%. It just takes a loud minority. This is what we were warned about. This is the turbulence, the spectacle of turbulence and contention that is incompatible with personal security or the rights of property that democracies are. And then you wonder why the people who keep calling for this violence are often the ones that are calling, or maybe not violence, calling for these protests are the ones who we say are calling for democracy. We want our voice heard, but if it's a voice we disagree with, it takes a mob and voila, we get our way. You know, I find it interesting that this generation who has been raised with participation trophies, with removing of red pens, with self-esteem was more important than anything else, apparently have never learned how to lose, have never learned that they could possibly be wrong, never learned how to have an argument or a debate, merely how to act as a petulant child. And that is how I see most of these people acting. You know, when my daughter was 5 years old and she threw a temper tantrum, she got sent to her room. Apparently, we have a whole bunch of adults that need to be sent to their room because they're reaction to anything they don't like is to stamp their feet, yell, scream, cry, demand they get their way, to act like that child in the grocery store that's not getting the sugary cereal they want. Democracy is exhausting and murdering itself. We are watching the potentially the death throes. Because what happens if these people don't win? What happens if the justices refuse to be swayed by a mob of angry, petulant children? I'm sorry, if you're going to act like an angry, petulant child, I'm going to treat you like an angry, petulant child. What happens if the court, if the majority of the court refuses to bend the knee to the mob and treats them like the angry, petulant child they are and just lets them exhaust themselves in their self, in their narcissistic self-importance? Well, that's interesting because there are two things that could happen. Now, one is, well, when they realize it doesn't work, they find another tactic. When they realize that this emotional diatribe actually does them more harm than good, maybe they stop it. The other possibility is that their minions in positions of trust use this opportunity to circumvent and subvert the law in order to give these petulant children what they want in order to get their votes. Now, I have to take another break, but before I do, please remember, you can listen to the Constitution Study live every weekday, 4 p.m. Eastern, on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media player or our apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. You can find all the links at the homepage. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com. Also, if you would like to join me and the rest of us on our online study, we meet every other Monday evening, 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll just go to constitutionstudy.com/study. You can find out all about the study. You can even try it for free. We record all of our sessions, and the three sessions we did on the Bill of Rights, you can listen to, you can watch absolutely free. You can find out more. Again, just go to constitutionstudy.com/study for more information. And if you want to hear more, if you want to hear past episodes of the Constitution Study, they are available on podcast. They generally hit the podcast, a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, basically anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Just do me a favor. Subscribe, like, thumbs up, follow, whatever your platform uses. Help others to find the Constitution Study and the other great programs on America Out Loud. You see, if you want to convince somebody, if you want to promote your position, don't act like a petulant child. Don't act like those we've been seeing the last several days on TV. No. Get your arguments, get your data, and share them. And we'll be back right after this short break.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today, well, we're proving why America is not a democracy, why we are a constitutional republic, by showing just how crazy the mob rule would be if we were truly a democracy. We've been focusing on the reaction to the leak of the draft opinion in the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health case, the one that will overturn both Roe and Casey, at least according to the draft. If you don't remember, I am not reviewing the draft because I want to see what the actual decision is. I've written first drafts before. Often they don't look that much like the final draft, so I'm going to wait. But people have been going crazy. And the question that I want to cover in this segment is, if the toddlers and the narcissistic stampeding horde of people who just are pounding and stomping to get their way, what if that doesn't work? What if the court is not intimidated into changing its opinion? What if they stand up and said, you're just a bunch of five-year-olds and we're going to ignore you until you run out of breath? Well, see, that's not really a problem for the mob because the ends justify the means. You see, in the democratic process, and by the democratic process, I'm not referring to the Democratic Party, although they seem to promote this, but I'm talking things like, you know, I'm old enough to remember when the East Germany referred to as the German Democratic Republic. Yeah, I remember how these have all worked. If you don't get your way, you change the rules. Again, exactly the way the five-year-olds do it, right? If you don't get your way, you change the rules. Now, they've been talking about this for a while, but here you go, court packing. See, if we don't get the opinion we want from the court, let's not bother with actually looking at the law, changing the law. No. We are just going to pack the court so that we get our way. We get what we want. I kid you not, they remind me of petulant children. These are spoiled five-year-olds. So this has been another reason why they can put, example, why they need to push for court packing. I believe one of the reasons that this draft was leaked was to bring this to the table to help generate interest among Democratic voters so that they don't have such a bad time in the midterms as current polling would tend to suggest. So why pack the court? And again, there are a lot of people calling for packing the court. Many groups are talking about packing. Minnesota, there's a group of Minnesota Democrats that are calling for packing the court. Representative Adam Schiff has called for packing the court. What is the reason for it? Now, granted, some of these have talked about packing the court simply because a Republican president has appointed more justices than a Democratic president. Oh, so if we're not in the majority anymore, then we need to pack the court. We need to change the rules. You see, I know the court is supposed to be nonpartisan, supposed to be not political. It's partisan. It's political. How often have you heard to a justice refer to based on the party of the president that appointed them? Gorsuch and Barrett and Kavanaugh, they were appointed. Well, they're Trump appointees. Well, if they were truly nonpartisan, if they were truly a constitutional justices, it wouldn't matter who appointed them because they'd be looking at the law, not the politics. But once again, if you don't get your way, then change the rules. We've seen it in a lot of places, but right now we're seeing it with the courts. So what's the plan? Okay, we need to rebalance court. And here's the other thing, like, we have an extreme conservative majority. Well, again, I deal with Supreme Court opinions all the time. If there is a conservative majority, it's a slight one. I mean, sure, you've got Kagan and Breyer and Sotomayor, and yes, Breyer's being replaced by someone very similar to him. They are staunchly, I don't want to call them Democrats, but they almost always side with the Democratic Party. Almost always. No one's 100%. They believe in an activist court. They believe that courts make law and they apply it. And then, of course, you have Thomas and Gorsuch, which are much more textualist, originalist. I would consider them more basing their opinions based on the law. Not always, but much more towards that side. Then you got, well, Barrett is still, I'm waiting to see. Kavanaugh, he is a federal supremacist. He's going to tend to side with the federal government no matter what. That's been his history. I kind of expect the same thing from Barrett, but I'm giving her some chance. And then, of course, you have Roberts, who is the ultimate flip-flopper. All he cares about is the reputation of the court. He doesn't seem to care much about the law is secondary to the look of the court. Which is why I think we have these, part of the reason why we have these demonstrations is Justice Roberts has already shown that he will change his mind if he thinks his decision will badly impact the court. But this idea that we've got a fairly balanced court, you got three on one side, you've got two to three on the other, and then you got three or so in the middle, and no, we don't get our way. The extremists, the Democratic Party, the progressive Marxist leftists have had decades of getting their will, not through the quote-unquote democratic process, not through the law, not through legislation, but via the courts, are afraid because that power has been weakened and it's jeopardized, which is, again, why I think we're seeing this protest, because I think they're losing. So, yeah, it makes sense that those who favor those who are members of the Democratic Party, those who support the Democratic Party, those who support the ideas of the Democratic Party, while there's a Democratic president, want to put more justice on the court for a Democratic president to appoint. They want to change the rules. Now, listen, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to have 9 justices. In fact, if you read the Constitution, you only have to have one justice. You have to have a chief justice. Other than that, it's up to Congress. If memory serves, we've had as few as 6 and as many as 13 justices on the court, although we've had 9 justices on the court for quite a while. Now, is 9 the right number? Maybe yes, maybe no. I know the court only hears a fraction of the cases that are brought before it. Simply changing the number of justices wouldn't necessarily change that unless we changed how the Supreme Court heard cases. If more of them were heard by panels and then reviewed en banc, that'd be a difference. But if you truly wanted to be fair, remember, we're always talking about fairness, and that we want something that's fair. If you truly wanted to be fair, if you wanted to add justices to the court, you would only allow a president to add 1 justice at a time. So if Adam Schiff, I believe, suggested they want to add 4 justices to the court, fine. Biden can add 1. And then whoever comes after Biden would have 1, and whoever came after them would have 1. And the court would gradually expand, but it would be done from the partisan standpoint of the people's decision, not a simple, we need to grab power while we can. And oh, by the way, court packing is nothing new. John Adams packed the court in 1800 when he lost the presidency, the presidential election to Thomas Jefferson. He packed the lower courts. He didn't pack the Supreme Court, but he packed the lower federal courts. He also packed the justices of the peace, which led to the case Marbury versus Madison, which is so often misapplied nowadays. If you want to find out more, again, go to my website, constitutionstudy.com. Look, search for Marbury. I did a whole article on the Marbury versus Madison case. So one solution would be to pack the court to get the court to give you the answer you want, not necessarily the answer the law requires. The other has been moving through the Senate primarily. See, Senator Schumer, who is the majority leader, is bringing a vote, I think this week, to pass a law to quote unquote codify abortion rights. Now, I want to remind you something very, very important. See, Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution is known as the Supremacy Clause. It says the Constitution and the laws of the United States made pursuant thereof are the supreme law of the land. Meaning if Congress passes a law that is not made pursuant to the Constitution, not only is it not supreme, but according to both Alexander Hamilton and Federalist Paper 78 and the case Marbury versus Madison, that act is void. Why is that important? You see, the Fifth Amendment says you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Due process is defined as a judicial or governmental process designed to protect the rights of the individual. Why is that important? Once life is detected, the government is required at least to, if not actively protect it, not actively destroy it. To deprive a human of life without due process is a federal crime. Meaning that if Schumer gets his way, even though it's not likely to happen, they're not getting 60 votes for this any way, shape, or form. This, again, is a show. It's meant to boost support for the upcoming midterm elections, in my opinion. It's meant to show the base that we're all for murdering babies. Yes, we're all for it. Absolutely. Maybe that's why the the legislation, I believe, that was proposed, the Women's Health Protection Act, would actually support support abortion into the third trimester, when babies are actually viable outside the womb. No, we're going to go forward with this. And if a court actually followed the law, it would look and say, well, wait a second. Once we can detect life, you actually want to deprive that being of life without due process? And that due process is very important. It's why those who claim, you know, the back alley abortions and all that is nonsense. I don't have the statistics, but if memory serves, I've heard it before, the number of women who died from the quote-unquote back alley abortions was relatively small. It's sad that it happened, but that is a consequence of those dangerous decisions. But if a pregnancy actually endangers the life or health of the mother, then I don't know of any state in the union that would prohibit that. That is self-defense. That's the mother defending herself against the child that's endangering her life. But again, that's a reasonable look at what's going on. So it's an approach to this craziness. See, even if the Women's Health Protection Act were to be passed, any abortion portion of that would be void because it violates the Constitution of the United States, specifically the Fifth Amendment. Now, if the court follows something similar to the draft, if Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health falls in favor of Mississippi, and Roe v. Wade is overturned, that doesn't mean that abortion's illegal. It goes to the states. And states have already put in place trigger laws that said, if and when Roe v. Wade is overturned, here's how we're going to handle it. I want to remind them of one little thing. The 14th Amendment. See, the 14th Amendment says no state can pass a law that would deprive someone of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So if you're in California and you pass a law that says a mother can abort her child without needing to show that her life is in danger, that her physical health is in danger, just because it makes her feel bad. In other words, no protections for the rights of the individual child, that law is just as void because it's made repugnant to the supreme law of the land. And if we have a court system, if we have a judiciary that follows the law, then if we had one that followed the law, abortion, except in rare circumstances, would not have been legal for the last 50 years. So as we roll back hopefully roll back the insanity of Roe v. Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood, maybe we can help Americans grow up a bit. I don't expect this generation to do more than stamp their feet and act like the petulant. I shouldn't say this generation. Many in this generation. I would be surprised. Maybe it's time we started educating the next generation that you don't always get what you want. That just because you want it doesn't make it legal. And just because someone said you could have it doesn't make it the law. Maybe if we thought a little more calmly and rationally, rather than simply reacting based on emotion, maybe if we made arguments rather than intimidated, maybe we could come up with better solutions to our disagreements. Because although I've shown that in most circumstances, abortion is a federal crime, Title 18 United States Code, Section 242, you've deprived a child of life of a right protected by the Constitution without due process of law. And you did so based on some law, rule, regulation, or custom. I recognize that there are people who disagree with me. And the big question should be, when can we detect life? 50 years ago, the technology wasn't there that we have today. They didn't understand what happened in the womb the way we do today. We have grown up. We have learned more. Let's apply that in this case. And let's try as a people to grow up and learn to handle our disagreements like adults, not like petulant children. Now, do me a favor, please make America Out Loud your daily stop for all the latest news, happenings. It's more important than ever that we share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, these insights with as many people as we can. Share them with friends, family, and social media. And you can help join me as we secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and for our posterity.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.